Okay, we are in the middle of Perek Chof Dalet, chapter 24 of Sefer Shmuel Aleph. In this Perek, we had the exciting, suspenseful episode of where David is hiding with his men in a cave, and Shaul comes into the cave, and David's men say, "Here's your chance, David. This is the day that God said, you know, that you would be able to kill your enemy. Hashem is handing him into your hands. Go kill Shaul." And David says, "I can't do that. He's the anointed one of Hashem." So instead, David goes and cuts off a corner of Shaul's cloak, and he brings that to Shaul and shows him, you know, "Look, I could have killed you, and I chose not to. You know, people say that I'm out to get you. It's not the case." That's what David tells him. Okay, so we're going to pick up from Pasuk Tes. Okay? Vayakam, verse 9, we're in chapter 24. Vayakam David acharechein, and David got up after that. Vayetze min ha-me'ara, and he went out from the cave. Vayikra achare Shaul lemar, and he called after Shaul, saying, "Adoni ha-melech, my master, the king." Vayabet Shaul acharav, and Shaul turned back behind him to see who that was. Vayikod David apayim arza, and David bowed his head to the ground. Vayishtachu, and he prostrated himself. Vayomer David l'Shaul, and David said to Shaul, "Lama sishmas divrei adam lemar, hine David mevakish ra'asecha. Why have you listened to the words of man, saying, David seeks your evil. David seeks to harm you." So David's saying, you know, people are, obviously somebody's whispering in your ear. Why are you listening to people who are saying that I seek to harm you? Rashi tells us that he's referring to Doeg. Right? We've met Doeg before. Doeg was the one who ratted out Nov Ira Kohanim. Doeg was the one who killed the people of Nov. And we see that he has the Midah of Lashon Hara, of reporting, he reported on Nov. So that same Midah now is the David saying, why is someone whispering in your ear? I don't know if David knows that it's Doeg, but Rashi tells us that he's referring to Doeg. So David goes on. He says in Yud Aleph, "Hine hayom hazeh ro'u einecha es asher nesancha Hashem hayom biyadi ba'me'ara. Behold, on this day your eyes have seen that Hashem has given you into my hands in the cave. The Omar laharagcha, and he said to kill you. Vatachas alecha, and she or you had mercy on you." Again, it's a hard read. We talked about it last week. We'll go back to it in a second. "Va'omar, and I said, lo eshlach yadi badoni, ki Mashiach Hashem hu. And I said, I will not extend my hand against my master, for he is the Mashiach Hashem. He's the anointed one of God." So again, David says, you know, Hashem handing me into your hands. The Amar Laharagcha, and he said to kill you. What does that mean, he said to kill you? Who's he referring to? So on a Pashup Shat level, on the simple level, the Mefarshim say that, which is David says this, that he's referring to in singular, that each of the men, each of my men said to kill you. The Amar Laharagcha, each of my men was saying to kill you individually, and I did not listen. We had the Gemara last week. The Gemara said, "Va'amar l'harakha," he meant the Torah, or God. He was saying the halacha is Now, if somebody is rodeif, somebody is chasing after you to kill you, someone who comes to kill you, you get up and you are allowed to get up and kill them first. So he said to it said to kill you, vatachas alecha, and again it should say I had mercy, but that's not what that means. It means like and you had mercy or and she had mercy. So the Gemara actually said that referred to the tznius of Shaul, that your tznius, your modesty, is what saved you. We discussed last week how that was so. Again on a pshat level, the Radak says Vatachas, he's saying, and she had mercy on you. So the Radak says, Nafshi o Enai, my soul or my eyes. I'm not sure if he's trying to explain again the feminine connotation, because I don't know if Nefesh or Enayim would be in Russian Mekeva. I'm not sure about that. I wouldn't have assumed so, but it's possible. And that may be what the Radak is coming to say. The Marikaro here also says that it's Enai, Vatachas Enai Alecha, my eyes had mercy on you. And he points out that other instances, there's another instance where we have the word Vatachas associated with the eyes. He says there's a pasuk, Vatachas Enai Alehem Mishchasam. He doesn't say where that is, but we have other instances where that we have that the Malbim also says my hand had mercy, and the Malbim says that the hand yad, the word yad is nekeva, and vatacha salecha lashon nekeva refers to my hand had mercy on you. So I think all of these mefarshim are trying to deal with on a pshat level why it uses lashon nekeva, the feminine, and she had mercy. So on a pshat level, they say it's referring to one, you know, either the soul or the eyes or the hand, all of which apparently get conjugated in feminine terminology. Okay. Now we have a very interesting pasuk. Says David, he continues to speak to Shaul, and he says, "V'avi re'ei, and my father, see, gam re'ei, see, es knaf me'ilcha biyadi, the corner of your me'il in my hand, the corner of your garment in my hand, ki becharsi es knaf me'ilcha v'lo harakticha, because by that which I cut off the corner of your garment and I did not kill you, da'ure'e, you should know and see, ki'eng biyadi ra'a vafesha, because in my hand there's no evil and no sin, v'lo chatasi lach, and I haven't sinned against you, v'ata tzodes nafshi l'kachta, and you're the one, you're hunting my life to take it, for I mean no harm against you. So David says, first of all, the avi re'ei, my father see. So the mefarshim here again on a pshat level, he doesn't really mean my father. It's a term of respect, riboni, my master. An av, I guess, doesn't have to be, you know, the av basedin. We have a term, right? The father of basedin. He's not the father. It means he's the head. He's in charge. He's the master of the basedin. So that's the targum here. The targum Yonasan says, "Viriboni istako, my master, see."
It's also his father-in-law.
It's also his father-in-law. Good. So we'll get to that in a second. And then he says, "Re'ei gam re'ei." What's this double term? You should see and also see. What's the double terminology? So the Radak says that he was telling him, Re'ei be'einecha knaf, see with your eyes the corner of the garment, and also see with your heart my righteousness and my straightness that I didn't kill you. Take a look, you know, with your physical eyes, and then process that, internalize that. Re'ei gam re'ei. See it with your eyes, and then see it in your heart, that I mean you no harm. That's what the Radak says. Now, there is a Medrash that has a different reading of the Pasuk. Medrash has actually a couple of different opinions. Says the Medrash, first of all, it says Amar Le David, the Avi Re'egam Re'eh Mikan. From here we learn Shechayev Adam Bikvod Chamav Kikvod Aviv, that a person is obligated to respect their father-in-law on the same level as their father. He called his father-in-law father. That's because, says the Medrash, they're on the same level. And the mitzvah, apparently the Medrash is saying, the mitzvah of kibud av va'em applies equally to one's father-in-law as it does to one's father.
What about when your father-in-law is trying to kill you?
Trying to what? Trying to kill you? Okay, good question. We'll get to that. We'll get to that. Good. Now the Medrash goes on. And it says, Amar of Yehuda... Sorry, excuse me. It says... Yeah, it says, Amar of Yehuda, the Avi Re'eh, Amar L'Shal. The Avi Re'eh that he said to Shal, Gam Re'eh, Amar L'Avner. So the Medrash breaks up the 2 points, Re'eh, Gam Re'eh, that he's speaking to two different people. He's speaking to Shal, Re'eh, Gam Re'eh, and he's speaking to Avner, Shal's general, who apparently was there as well. That's one opinion of the Medrash. And then V'Rabbanan Amar, and then there's another opinion that says, the Avi Re'eh Amar L'Avner Dehu Aviv Be'araisa. The Avi Re'eh, he said to Avner, he called Avner his father. Why? Because he was Aviv Be'araisa, he was his father in Torah, he was his Rebbe. And Gam Re'eh Amar L'Shal, and he said also see to Shal. So there's another opinion in the Braisa, in the Medrash, that the Avi Re'eh referred to Avner, he called Avner his father, as his teacher, and he called Shaul, and he said to Shaul, Gam Re'eh. That's the Medrash. Now, this halacha, that one is obligated to honor their father-in-law, is brought down in the Torah and in the Shulchan Aruch. However, the way they bring it down, the Torah brings it down, is... The Chayev Chabed Chama. It just says you're obligated to honor your father-in-law, and it quotes this pasuk. Tziv, the Avi Re'eh Gam Re'eh.
Going back a second, that Medrash, the first one was referring to Avner. The second
one, to Shaul.
So that's because his Rabbi takes precedence over the father-in-law.
According to that, according to this, yeah, according to this version, he didn't even call his father-in-law anything, right, respectful. Right. Now the Bach asks on the tour, the way the tour brings down the halacha is, you have to honor your father-in-law. The way the Medrash says it,
that would be arguing the previous one.
The way the Medrash says it is, Chayav Mikan, we learn from here, Chayav Adam Bikvod Chamav Kikvod Aviv. The Medrash says you have to honor your father-in-law like your father. But the way that the Torah brings it down, and the Shulchan Aruch, is just that you have to honor your father-in-law. It doesn't say like your father. So the Bach wonders why. The Bach, by the way, points out, by the way, he says it also applies to your mother-in-law.
If it applies to your father-in-law, then you should have said first to the father before saying to the
right. So he's not going with that opinion, right? He's going with the first opinion that said you have to treat your. The Medrash says, first opinion, he was referring to his father-in-law, and you have to treat your father-in-law like your father. The question is then, why doesn't he say that? Why does the Torah only say that you have to honor your father-in-law? Why doesn't it say like your father? Tell us how much you have to honor your father-in-law. So the Bach says that's because there are, because of these other opinions in the Medrash, because there's another opinion there that says that Avi Re'eh referred to Avner and not Shaul, and he wasn't even calling Shaul his father. So therefore, there's no proof from this pasuk that you really have to honor your father-in-law like your father. And that's how we paskin, that you don't have to honor your father-in-law as much as your father, because that's what the opinion of the Rabbanan, and they're the majority, that you don't have to honor your father-in-law like your father. However, the Torah is still paskin that you do have to honor your father-in-law, because like any other elder, any other zaken we had in this week's parsha. Mipnei seva takum, right? You should stand before someone who's elderly. So he says, so you see that you still have to honor your father-in-law, and he adds a little knech. He says also, even according to the second opinion, it says avi re'e gam re'e, and the avi re'e referred to Avner, but the gam re'e referred to Shaul, and somehow he says, samchu b'miktas l'kvodav. He kind of related it to the honor of a father. Somehow the Bach sees in that he's still implying this term avi a little bit onto Shaul. So therefore the Bach concludes that's why even though we paskin like the opinion that he wasn't calling Shaul his father, he was calling Avner his father as his Rebbe, but still you know you should still honor your father-in-law like any other elder. And also there's a little bit of a hint here that he's somewhat referring to his father-in-law as father, and therefore you still have to honor your father-in-law. And that's what the Bach comes out. The Aruch HaShulchan is kind of put off by this whole this whole thing. Like, what's going on here? So he calls him Avi. He calls him this term of respect. But what's the big deal about that, he says? We find other places like that. He says, Elisha calls Eliyahu Avi. He says, Avi Rechav Yisrael Parashav. So what's the big deal? You know, that's a term of respect. To learn out from here that you have to treat your father-in-law like your father, that's not a term. It's nothing to do with the fact that he's his father-in-law. It's we have other places where people are called Avi. He says, oh, well, you'll tell me, you know, Elisha and Elio was different, because Elisha and Elio was his Rebbe. And that's why he called him Avi. But why is David calling Shaul Avi? He's not his Rebbe. Must be, because he's his father-in-law. So you see. So he says, that's not enough, because he's the king, you know. So you want to know why he uses such a term of respect? Because he's talking to the king. That's why he's using such a term, and he says we have examples of that. he says, Naaman, the king of Aram, his servants call him Avi. It says in Melachim Beis, it says, Avi. They call the king Avi. So we see examples where you call a king Avi. So where do we get from here that it was because it was his father-in-law and you have to respect your father-in-law like your father? Where does this all come from? So he says perhaps, this is what Jared was saying, that Shaul is chasing after him to kill him, right? He's trying to kill him. So David shouldn't be loving him or shouldn't be honoring him. If not for the fact that he was like his father, he was his father-in-law, and he's like his father. So he can't, he can't just, totally disrespect him, because at the end of the day, he's his father, because a father-in-law is like a father. If not for the fact that a father-in-law is like a father, he wouldn't have treated him with this honor, even though he's the king. And that's how you see, still, it must be that a father-in-law is like a father. From the fact that David continued to treat him with such respect, it must be because you have to treat your father-in-law like your father. Now, there is an interesting connection here, because remember, David's, why would David be allowed to kill Shaul? Because he's a rodef, and we have Abba l'hargacha hashkim l'harga. Now, the halacha of rodef is very much connected to the halacha of baba machteres. What's a baba machteres? So it's a pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim, where it talks about if somebody digs into your house, digs a tunnel into your house to steal from you, so you're in lo damim, the pasuk says, he has no blood. You're allowed to kill him. Why? It's not that you assume that he's coming to kill you, but in effect he's coming to kill you because he knows that you're going to that you're not going to just give up your property. He knows that you're going to stand up to defend your property and try to kill him. And so then he's going to kill you. So since he knows that he's coming with the intent to kill you, because he knows you're going to defend yourself, and he's going to have to kill you, so then you're allowed to kill him. So it's like this whole, like, backwards and forwards thing. But
stand your ground.
Exactly. Very much related to that. So that's the halacha of Baba Machteres. There's one exception to Baba Machteres when you're not allowed to kill the robber. Who's that? If he's your father. If your father is digging a tunnel into your home, you're not allowed to kill him. Why? Because the Gemara says, because he's not going to kill you. Because the father has Rachmanis on his son. Even if you stand up to defend yourself, he's not going to try to kill you. That's the mercy that a father has. You know he's trying to rob you, he won't try to kill you. That's what the Gemara says. So it could be that there's the some of Farshim try to connect that idea and read into some of the Pesukim here and later that David is sort of telling Shaul that Avi Rey, you're my father, right? You're my father, and I know that you're not really going to kill me, and that's why I didn't kill you. Even though you're coming, you know, you make it seem like you want to kill me, and you're chasing after me, and you're trying to kill me, but I know that you're like a father who has mercy on his son, and you're not actually going to kill me. Okay. Next pasuk. Pasuk Yigimel. Yishbot Hashem beini uveinecha. Hashem should judge between me and between you. Unikamani Hashem mimecha, and Hashem should avenge me from you. V'yadi rosiyabach. My hand should not be against you. So David's saying, there's no one else here to judge who's right here. There's no judges here. It's just me and you. So who's going to judge? So Hashem should judge between us. And either Nikamani Hashem Imeko, either Hashem should avenge me from you. Meaning, says the Malbim, Hashem himself should be the one to punish you if you continue in your pursuit. Or the Yadi Losiabach, or my hand won't be against you, but someone else will attack you. And he goes on and he says, Kasher Yomar Mishal Hakadmoni, as is said in the early parable allegory that people say, they reshayim yetzei rasha, from evildoers comes evil. The yadi lo siyabach, and again, my hand will be against you. So David says that Hashem should judge between us, and either Hashem will punish you, or he'll send a messenger to punish you. But it's not going to be my hand that punishes. It's not going to be mine. As they say, the mashal akadmoni, the old mashal that they say is Mirishayim Yetzei Rasha. From evildoers comes evil. It's not going to be from me that you're killed. It's going to be from someone evil who kills you. Now this term Mishal HaKadmoni, this which means like the early mashal, the old mashal. So what does it refer to? So on a pashut level, again, it's just like, you know, it's what people say. It's what people say. This is an old saying. Everybody knows, you know. They're Rishayim Yetzei Rasha. That, as the saying goes, from Rishayim comes Rishus. From evildoers comes evil. Rashi tells us that the Mashal HaKadmoni refers to the Torah. The Torah is called Mashal HaKadmoni, the early Mashal. Why is the Torah called the early Mashal? Why is it called a Mashal, the Torah? So the Chavetz Chaim says an amazing thing. Chavetz Chaim says that sometimes you want to describe something or describe someone So you have to make a picture, right, or an image, so that you can sort of get some understanding of what you're talking about. Right, I'm trying to explain something to you, so I make a diagram on the board. That's how sometimes you need to get, you know, some information across. He says that maybe just on a more simple level, a parable, a mashal is a parable. It's to help us understand something. The Torah is how we can get at least a tiny bit of understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of Hashem. That's how Hashem reveals himself to us, is through the Torah. And if we want to, you know, gain a greater understanding of God to the greatest extent that is possible for a human being, so the way to do that, the path to that, is the Torah. The Torah is the mashal akadmoni. It's the mashal of Hashem. It's the parable through which we can understand Hashem. That's why the Torah is referred to mashal akadmoni. Now, that's what the Chofetz Chaim says. Now, in this context, where does the Torah say May Rishayim Yetze Rasha? Where does the Torah say that? It's not a pasuk in the Torah anywhere that from Rishayim comes evil, from evil people comes evil. So Rashi, again, quoting the Gemara or the Medrash. He's saying Hashem is going to judge, and either Hashem will punish you directly, or someone else, not me, will punish you, because from an evil person will come evil. It's not going to be from me. It's going to be from someone else who's evil. What does he refer to? So Rashi says that we have the Gemara tells us that there's a pasuk that when it talks about a person killing by accident, so the pasuk says, "V'ha Elokim ina liyado," and Hashem, like ina, is a term that's like he arranged for it to come to his hand. If that happens and he kills someone by accident, I'll give him a place that he can run to. But the terminology of the pasuk is of killing by accident is like V'ha Elokim ina liyado, aleph nun hey ina, which means like it happened that way. Hashem's kind of arranged for it to happen that way. What does that mean? So the Gemara says that you can have that someone killed someone, right? So they're chayav misa, but there were no witnesses, so they're not going to be punished. So how do they get punished? So Hashem, and then you have someone else who, let's say, deserves galus. They deserve to be sent into exile. So Hashem arranges that he's mizdamin them with pundik echad. He arranges that they end up staying at the same inn. And it just happens to be that the one who deserves galus, who deserves to be exiled, he's climbing a ladder, and the other guy who deserves to be killed is walking underneath the ladder, and the ladder breaks and the top guy falls down and kills the bottom guy. So everybody gets what they deserved. The guy who killed someone is now dead, and the guy who deserved galus has now killed someone by accident, and he has to go into exile. He has to go to the Ir Mikla, to the city of refuge. So that's how Hashem arranges for everyone to get what's due for them. And so that's the pasuk V'ha Elokim ina liyado. Hashem arranged for this to come to his end, that the person will kill by accident, he will kill the person who deserves to be killed. So that's what David's referring to. May your Shayim Yetze Rasha. You know who's going to kill you? It's not going to be me. It's going to be someone who needs to kill you for, you know, to get his proper fate that's due for him.
He says, I was thinking that he would say, well, you were wicked, you tried to kill me for no reason.
Now, it is interesting because who does end up killing Shaul? Who does kill Shaul? So, as I recall, Shaul tries to kill himself. He falls on his own sword. He doesn't actually fully kill himself. And he instructs a young boy, right, to kill him. That lad goes and tells David, I killed Shaul. What does David do to him? Kills him, right? So, right, you shouldn't, you know, that's, you know, wasn't he... Okay, well, when we get there, we'll talk about it more, I guess. But obviously, David felt that wasn't the right thing to do. So in any event, so that's what it's referring to, according to Rashi, which is based on the Medrash. The Malbim has another example of Meirushalayim Yetzirasha, a slightly different spin on it, that from evildoers comes evil. The Malbim learns... And he learns Mashal HaKadmoni a little bit different. What's the Mashal HaKadmoni? What's the early Mashal, the early story that mirrors this? He says it's the story of Cain and Hevel. That Cain kills Hevel. And what happens to Cain? Who kills Cain? Lamech. Lamech kills Cain. Who's Lamech? So Lamech was a grandchild of Cain. I think a seventh generation, if I remember Pesukim correctly. But he was the descendant of Cain. So Meirushalayim Yetzei Resha, from evildoers will come evil, that from a descendant from Cain, the evildoer, came this descendant, and he was killed by another Rasha, Lamech. And again, that's what David is telling Shaul, is that this is not, I'm not going to be the one to kill you. Either Hashem will judge you directly, or he'll have a messenger, but it's going to be Meirushalayim Yetzei Resha. It's going to be from somebody who's evil who does it, and it's not going to be me. Okay. David continues to talk to Shaul.
Could David have been referring to when Shaul tries to kill himself?
It could be. I don't know if he really knows who's going to be the one. Right. Like, he's just saying that that's how I'm not going to be the one to do it. Someone who's evil is going to be the one to do it. Okay, Acharei mi yatsa melech Yisrael, Pasuk Tes Vav, verse 15. After whom is the king going out? Who are you wasting your time with, Shaul? Acharei mi ata rodef, who are you chasing after? Acharei kelev meis, you're chasing a dead dog. Acharei parosh echad, after a mosquito or some kind of bug, I think. What do we got? What do we got in the English for that?
A flea.
After a flea, I'm nothing, you know? So David is speaking with great humility. He's saying, I'm nothing. Why are you chasing me? It's not worth your time to chase someone like me. Again, Hashem should be the judge, and he should judge between me and you, and he should see, and he should fight by fight, and he should judge to save me from your hands. So I'm not sure why he goes back again to this judging again, but that's David's speech to Shaul. Okay, so Shaul responds. And it was when David finished speaking these things to Shaul, and Shaul said, "Hakolcha ze bini David, is this your voice, my son, David?" He calls him my son. He responds in kind. David called him Avi. He calls him bini. Vayisa Shaul kolo vayevk, and Shaul raised up his voice and he cried. He's moved to tears. David has seemingly accomplished his goal here. Vayomer el David, and he said to David, Tzadik ata mimeni, you are more righteous than me. Ki ata gimaltani hatova, for you have paid me with good. Vani gimalticha hara'a, and I have paid you with evil. The Malbim here suggests that the word gomel, to pay, you've paid me good and you paid me bad, the Malbim says that that gimilah, being gomel, comes either from love or from hate. It's a paying, it's a giving that's done through either the emotional love or hate. And so that's, so gimaltani atova, you gave me good out of love. Ani gimalti chara, I tried to give you bad out of hate. Ve'ata higadta hayom, and now and you have told today, Esa shirasisa iti tova, that which you have done good for me, Esa shirasigrani Hashem biyat chavaharatani, that which Hashem has locked me up, you know, closed me up in your hands, gave me over to your hands, and you didn't kill me. He says, David, you've told me the good that you've done for me. So David learned to mean, you showed me, you've proven to me. And when a man finds his enemy, the shilcho b'derech tova, and he sends him on the way, Hashem yishalem chatova, Hashem should pay you good. Tachas hayom hazeh asher asisali, in you know, because of this day that you've done for me. So this is a bit of a strange pasuk, because it's like is it a rhetorical question? V'chiyimtza ish es oiva, or is there just missing words? When a man finds his enemy, v'shulcha b'derech tova, and he sends him on the way, is he talking about David? He's saying, you know, you found your enemy and you sent him on his way, Hashem should pay you for good. So that's how some of our Shem learn. I believe there are those who learn that way, that he's actually referring to David. He's just saying, you know, you know, this is great that you know, you found me, your enemy, and you sent me on the way. Others learn that he's expressing how, you know, bitmia, with wonderment, like, has this ever happened before? This is, you know, an unbelievable righteous act. Does it happen that someone finds their enemy and he sends him on the way? You know, that's amazing that you did this, David. Hashem yishalem chatova tachas hayom hazeh. Hashem should pay you for this. There's one other way to learn this pasuk, and it relates back to the previous pasuk. And this is how the Malbim learns, and the Bina Le'itim also learns this way. The Bina Le'itim has it in a drasha, so he's a little bit more lengthy about it. He says, when somebody does an act of kindness, for it to be truly pure, so it's chesed is the greatest chesed is when you don't tell someone that you did it for them, right? You do a great chesed and you don't tell them, you don't take any credit, you don't want any reward, you do it just for the sake of the mitzvah. That's the greatest harm. As soon as you start doing it for honor or for reward, so then you lose out on the chesed. So here, seemingly David like ruined it for himself, because he did this great chesed for Shaul, and then he went and told him. Now, obviously, there's good reason why he told him, because he was trying to save his life, right? He wanted to show that I could have killed you. So this is a pikuach nefesh type of situation, so it makes sense that he told him. But more than that, Shaul is praising David for announcing it to the world. That's right. It's not just that he told Shaul. Shaul is saying, Higadta hayom, you have told everyone what you did today, and I praise you for that. Why? Why? Because you're teaching the world the attribute of mercy. You're teaching people not to take revenge. And therefore, that's how it reads into Pasuk Chaf. So again, Pasuk Yates, verse 19, he says, V'ata yigadta hayom ha'esa shirasisa iti tova. You've told today to everyone the good that you did. You've announced it to the world. And normally we would frown on that. But in this case, it's a good thing. You know why? Pasuk Chaf, because Vechiyimtza Ishes Oivo, because now when a man who heard about your story finds his enemy, Vishilcho B'derech Tova, he'll send him off on the way, he'll let him go, he won't take revenge because of you, David. He'll learn from you this amazing midah. And then, Vashem Yishalemcha Tova, every time that happens as a result of your action, Hashem will pay you for that. That's what Shaul is saying. Hashem Yishalem Chatova. Each time that somebody has mercy because they learned from you, David, Hashem Yishalem Chatova. Hashem will pay you good. As a result of this day, Asher Asisa Li, from that which you did for me. So it's an amazing pasuk. You read it this way. Shaul is telling David that the lesson that people learn from your actions will continue to provide reward for you in the future. Everything is calculated before the Ribono Shel Olam, and every time someone has mercy as a result of learning from you, so then you will be rewarded. So we see it's an unbelievable lesson for us that the impact that we can have and the schar that we can gain just from encouraging someone to learn, to teach, to be a good example for other people, because then it spreads, right? And each time that something good happens as a result of our actions, so Hashem Yishalem Chatova, Hashem repays that in kind.
Jewish enemy, or
wherever it's proper. Ve'ata, and now, Hine yadati ki maloch timoch, says Shaul, I know that you will be king, Shaul says. How do I know that you will be king? So some of our Shim learn, because look, Hashem just saved him. Clearly Hashem is with him. He knows also that Hashem, that Shaul told him, that Shmuel told Shaul that Hashem is going to rip away the kingdom from him. Shmuel already told him that. And now he sees that David is so successful. He says, David, I know you're going to be king. Or the Radak says it's possible he just heard that Shmuel had anointed David. He says, I know that you're going to be king. The last explanation is that the Mepharshim bring down is that when Shaul, back earlier on, Shmuel cuts off a corner of Shaul's robe, that's when he tells him that you're going to have, just as I cut this off, so the kingship is going to be cut off from me. So the Medrash says that Simon Masaro, he gave him a simon, he gave him a sign that the one who cuts off your robe, he's going to be the one to be king. Just like I'm cutting off your robe now, Shmuel tells him, so too, later someone is going to cut off your robe, and that person, the corner, and that person is going to be your successor. And that's what happened now, is David cut off the corner of Shaul's robe. So he says, I know you're going to be king, v'kama b'yadcha mamlechas Yisrael, and the kingship of Israel will be established in your hands. Pasuk Chaf Beis, v'ata, and now, hishava li ba'ashem, you should swear by God, im tachris ezari acharoi. If you destroy my descendants, v'im tashmi d'ashmi b'yis avi, and if you destroy my name from the house of my father, meaning don't. He's saying, please swear, David, I know you're going to be king, please swear that you won't destroy my descendants and you won't destroy my name. Pasuk Chaf Gimel, Vayishava David l'Shaul, and David swore to Shaul, Vayelech Shaul el Beiso, and Shaul went to his house, the David v'Anashav alu al hametzuda, and David and his men went on the up to the tower, to the fortress, and they returned. Now, there is a bit of an epilogue here that the Medrash gives, which is, you know, everything seems to be hunky-dory between David and Shaul, and, you know, finally Shaul is going to give up on his chase of David, but he's not. And the Medrash says, and somebody alluded to this last week, is that when they left, Avner turned to Shaul, and he said, Shaul, come on. David is trapped in the cave, right, with you. Let's say he kills you. What would happen to him? So, there's an entire army waiting outside the cave. We would have come in and obliterated him and his men. He had no choice. The Medrash also says that earlier Avner had told him that maybe he didn't cut off the corner of your robe. Maybe it just ripped off on a thorn or something. Maybe he's making the whole thing up. So Avner, according to the Medrash, was again, feeding, whispering in Shaul's ear not to listen to David. It's not clear why, but the Medrash says that, and you know, they're both actually valid points, that there's no proof here. There's no proof. It could be that his robe ripped. It could be that even if he had killed Shaul, he would have been killed. And so I guess we'll see how much, you know, as we go on, if Shaul is still, you know, going after David, or if he is finally satisfied and giving up. Okay, we'll hold it there.
Yeah. Oh, man. No.